I think even what the kids say is it sometimes is even delayed six, seven days.
I still don't know what that means, and my kids won't tell me. So.
I thought it was six.
I was an Adam.
So I'm so smitten right now because I was looking for a way to put that in. Welcome back to Ask the Injury Pros. After a long hiatus, I'm back with more hair and a bigger smile. I'm here with my fellow associate attorney, Todd Saylor, and we're going to turn it over to our executive producer, Alex, and we're going to ask some questions that we got from the dark web. And we're going to answer those questions as quickly, firmly, and appropriately as possible. Without any further ado, the man behind the camera.
We have a couple questions we're going to ask, questions we got from years of doing this, the internet, social media, questions we've had clients ask. So the first one, guys. So I feel guilty filing a claim. The other driver didn't hit me on purpose. Am I ruining their life by doing this?
I'm going to take this one. I just had this the other day talking with the client. I will get on my soapbox. I will say it one time. You're not suing the individual. You're suing the insurance company. Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad at all, because if it was the flip side, you would be the one getting sued. We have car insurance for a reason. It's when things like this go sideways, accidents happen. We call them crashes, but accidents happen. And you shouldn't feel bad. You're only doing what you should do, especially if you were hurt.
Right. And when I get this question from people, I ask them a simple question. I say, would you give a charity payment to a billionaire? And they say, no, of course I wouldn't. I said, well, then you're paying all these premiums all these years for your insurance, and that's what this is for now. That's why you make claims. You get some of that money back. And if you don't make a claim, the only thing you'll be doing is letting a multi-billion dollar company keep your money. And they usually, you know, realize, yeah, that's not a very good idea.
Locked and loaded. I agree.
All right, thanks, guys. So next question. How do I know if my injury is bad enough to even have a case? I don't want to waste anyone's time.
Well, this one can get a little complicated, whether you have full tort or limited tort. But basically what I tell people is at the outset, when they usually come to us right away, you know, soon after a collision happens or soon after an injury happens. And I tell them, well, really, we don't know at this point. We might have an idea based on your symptoms, but we really need to have you go to doctors and get testing done to see what the injuries are. And we'll watch the case, we'll get your medical records, and then we can make an analysis later. I mean, sometimes it's obvious if it's a severe accident or there are severe injuries, you know, fractured bones or things like that, it's obvious. But if it's, you know, back pain, neck pain, we don't know whether it will go away in a few weeks or whether it's going to be a permanent condition at the outset. So we tell people to go to the doctors. Let's find out what the injuries are.
Piggybacking off that, I would say I agree with that, but also that typically I tell clients six to eight months, you're going to know what's going on. You're going to hit that maximum medical improvement. You're going to be feeling better if you're not doing anything. And that's our better phone calls when people are feeling better. But what we all tell people here at Cardisco and Sale is you worry about your medical treatment. You get those diagnoses. If you have a herniation, you aren't going to know until you get the MRI and everything else. So you take care of yourself, you get to those doctor's appointments, and let us worry if it's worth it. You're not wasting anybody's time. And at the end of the day, what's the worst thing that happens if you're treating? You get better.
All right, thanks, guys. So next question. What if I was kind of at fault too? Like, I think I maybe braked a little bit late. Does that mean that I have no case?
Nope. As long as you are found 51% not at fault, you can recover for the full value of your case in Pennsylvania. Basically, in a nutshell, sometimes you are at fault and it's reduced accordingly, but ultimately you can still be at fault and still recover as long as it's not over the top of that 51%. And obviously that's a mathematical equation that 100% at fault is broken between two people. You might have broken too hard. You might have done something evasive you should have done or didn't do. But at the end of the day, as long as you are not completely at fault, and we have accident reconstructionists that can prove that, we have your testimony, we have defendant's testimony, we can get over that threshold and we can get over that bump.
Right. And I agree with that. And also, you know, there's very few situations where there might not be 5% at fault or 10% at fault, unless there's a rear end or something like that. But that doesn't mean you're precluded. I mean, if you're just a little bit at fault, you still have a right to recover for your injuries, and your claim might just be, or your award might just be reduced by that small percentage of fault. And yet, like Steve says, up to 50% even, you could still recover.
Guys, my next question. So the insurance company keeps calling me to just answer a few questions. Am I supposed to talk to them or not?
No, absolutely not. We tell people, do not trust them. Do not talk to them. They will go so far as to try to get to people before they hire an attorney to lowball them. I mean, not just lowball, but, I've seen situations where somebody took $500 for your lost wages, and they end up with a severe injury that required surgery, and it would have been a several hundred thousand dollar claim. And that's what they try to do. They try to get to people before they're represented. So go to a lawyer, come to us, let us take care of things. We don't want you talking to the insurance adjusters or insurance companies unless we are there and to properly protect you, because they will try to take advantage of you.
Famous last words, just a few questions. It always starts out that way. They try to be your BFF, best friend, whatever the kids are saying nowadays. And before you know it, they're flipping the script and trying to put you at fault or minimize your injuries. So don't call them. Don't call them. Don't let them talk to you. Just hang up the phone.
Right. And you might think, well, if I'm telling the truth, what's the problem? Well, that's true. But sometimes you may not feel all your injuries yet. Things might come to light later that you don't realize it at the time. Or you might say, some people have a tendency to just want to minimize things, right? They want to be tough. They want to say, oh, I'm okay. If you tell an adjuster that 2 days after a collision that you're okay, you'll be seeing that later in the case with them trying to say that this is made up or you're exaggerating now.
All right, guys. So here's another question. My car wasn't totaled or seriously damaged, but I'm the one that's seriously hurting. Does that matter, or will the insurance company say that I'm just exaggerating?
I think it's Newton's law. A force in motion stays in motion until it's hit by another force. So something like that. I didn't do very well at that subject in high school, but notwithstanding, something's got to absorb the energy. And a rear-end crash is the simplest mechanism of injury. There's a vehicle, hits the other vehicle. Just because the damage isn't large or your car is totaled or there's any damage at all, something has to absorb the energy. And the energy that's absorbed is your body, the mechanism going forward, backwards. If not many of the majority of the cases that have the most serious injuries are on those ones where you don't think so. The ways that cars are developed and designed nowadays is to absorb that with the undertow and the infrastructure there. You're going to see the damage. You're going to see the damage when you start to take away the bumper and it's bent and all the infrastructure out of sight, out of mind that you don't see and you can't see is what's absorbing the energy. So absolutely, if you are hurt in a rear end crash or any type of crash at all that doesn't have much damage and you are in pain, guess what? You're the one who absorbed the damage there.
Right. And the insurance companies or the defendants will try to use pictures of vehicles without a lot of damage to try to poke holes in your case. But we have ways of countering that with medical treatment, right? If you had no treatment for any parts of your body, you hurt in the collision before, now all of a sudden you're treating, you might be getting injections, even surgery. Well, where do you think those injuries came from? If it happened right after this collision or right at the time of the collision. And everybody's different. There are so many variables. You may have a pre-existing condition that you don't have any symptoms. You're not feeling any pain, but you have wear and tear in your neck or back, and it doesn't take a lot to put you over the top. So that's why we have good experts in the medical field and even biomechanical experts if we need it to look at the damage, look at the accident, how the collision happened, the medical records, and support the claim.
All right, this is a more technical question. This one looks like it might have come from LinkedIn instead of TikTok, if you know what I mean. So what happens if my medical bills end up being more than the other driver's insurance? Do I get stuck paying?
No, in that case, we would negotiate the lien down. A lot of times if the medical lien, and that's what, the health insurance can recover what they paid out, you can get that deducted or make a deal where if it's the same as the coverage or even more, you can usually make a deal, well, let's split it in three. You know, you would get a third, the lien holder would get a third, and us attorneys for doing the work we do would get a third or something like that. So it's all a process of negotiation.
And you also might even have a benefit of a first-party claim, that being an uninsured motorist or underinsured. Obviously, if there's a third party, it would be underinsured, that you can bring a claim against your own insurance, which is an optional benefit for first party that you can get in Pennsylvania and New Jersey. It's not required, but we endorse it. We say you need to do it in this, for those particular things. If there's inadequate insurance on the third side from the tortfeasor, you can then go back against your insurance and say, hey, I'm hurt pretty bad. I need to bring out a first party claim. And those bills come into play because, listen, if it's in excess of the third party, you got to get it back somehow. So we always look at the pockets of money. If we don't have the third party, or we've had the policy tendered, meaning they gave it to us all, then we can go back after the first party and we can try to pursue some more money.
All right. First party means your own insurance. So if your own insurance pays your medical bills with your medical benefits, there is no lien. You don't have to pay that back. And some health insurances don't have a lien right on cases.
All right, guys, I got a work-related question for you. So I'm scared my job will get frustrated with me, or I will lose wages if I take time off for medical stuff. How does that affect my potential case?
Document. It will show and corroborate how seriously injured you are. If you're scared, it's understandably so. Nobody wants to lose their job. But I always say this is a consequential damage. It's a damage of consequence, meaning that but for this crash, you wouldn't be in this predicament. You wouldn't be hurt at work. You wouldn't be having reductions or modifications. That's why it's important to communicate with your doctor. You want to let them know, hey, I'm having trouble at work with concentration, light sensitivity, being able to perform at that high level that I was, and then this crash happened. That, well, it's documented. Your employer also was aware of it, and they might offer up some modifications, but that's something that you definitely want to document so it's not a he say, she say situation, and you have your employer saying, well, they're slacking at work. Well, there's a reason why you're slacking at work. So you should just let them know, let your employer know, let your doctor know. So at least it's documented. If you are let go, that's a potential wage loss claim that we can also pursue as well.
Right. And, you know, you really need to get to the doctor somehow, even if it's after work or whenever you can, because like Steve said, you need to document things. You need to document your pain, the symptoms you're having. The doctors need to document what your injuries are. We need to have tests done like MRIs and things to see what's wrong with you. Because if there's no medical treatment, it does make our job pretty difficult.
All right, so here's a philosophical question for you. We'll start with Todd. So I've never sued anyone before, and honestly, it feels kind of wrong. Convince me that I'm wrong.
Well, this goes back to our prior discussion on who would you rather have the money, you or a multi-billion-dollar insurance company? I know who I would rather have the money, and I would rather the people that we fight for every day get the money rather than this money going to some CEO's, you know, million-dollar bonus at the end of the year. We fight for the little people. That's who we help. And I don't want anybody to feel guilty about getting just compensation for injuries that were no fault of their own. If you're just driving to work or you're taking your kids somewhere and you get slammed into by another car and you're injured, maybe you can't work or you can't do your normal activities, you can't play ball with your kid, you're entitled to receive compensation for that, and it shouldn't just stay with a multi-billion-dollar company.
Grim reality is that if you don't sue and you don't pursue a claim, you're the one that's footing the bill. Insurance is there for a reason. We need to use it when it is applicable. We don't abuse the system. It's not fraudulent. It's adequate, catastrophic injuries that have impacted someone's life, the little guy, fighting back against big corporations.
All right, guys, we're getting near the end here. I got two more questions for you. So this one relates to when injuries happen. So my pain didn't start until like 3 days after my crash. Does that make my case look like it's fake?
Yeah. Not at all. Document. It's one thing for you to say, hey, 3 days after I was in pain, and it's another thing to go to an urgent care, ER, doctor, PCP, primary care physician, anybody, even say it to your dentist when you're there. Say, hey, I'm in pain from a motor vehicle crash that happened 3 days ago, because corroboration is key. Insurance companies love to beat up the fact that there's delays in treatment, there is no treatment, or there's gaps in treatment. So you want to minimize that as possible and adequately as possible. The way you do that is, you get it documented. So it's no surprise that pain comes up 3 days later because it's delayed. Your body's in shock at the scene. You're just making sure that you're okay, that you're alive, you're still with us, and you're still well. And then your body resets, goes back to, or attempts to go back to baseline. And when that doesn't happen, that's when the pain flares up. That's when you know at the end of the day that this is something serious that isn't just a sprain and strain.
Right. It's not uncommon for that to happen, for there to be a delayed onset of symptoms. Doctors recognize that it's not an uncommon thing. So no, it shouldn't be a big problem in the case.
I think even what the kids say is it sometimes is even delayed six, seven days.
I still don't know what that means, and my kids won't tell me. So. I thought it was six.
I was so smitten right now because I was looking for a way to put that in somehow.
So I can tell you at home, I have a 6 and 8 year old, and my 6 year old loves it, and my 8 year old hates it. So it would be funnier if they were 6 and 7, wouldn't it?
I thought it was 6 to 7 out of a 10 scale, but I was laughed at. So
we're going to record a whole other episode on the origins of 6, 7. But that being said, we have one question left. We'll start with Todd here. So, question is my case actually going to settle, or am I probably going to end up in a trial? The idea of court freaks me out.
Well, here's what we do here at Cordisco and Sale. We prepare every case as if we may be in the courtroom going to trial. And that way, you get the highest offers. If you don't do that, you'll get lowballed by the insurance company. They'll know you're not prepared to go the distance, and we will go the distance if we have to here. Now, with that said, the statistics are, I think 97 or 98% of these cases resolve before trial, but you never know when you're going to have that 3%, or maybe we just don't think what's being offered is fair. And if our client agrees that it's not fair and doesn't want to take the offer, then we go ahead and we try the case. But it's always your, and when I say your, I mean the client's choice. If the client really doesn't want to go to trial and they're satisfied with the offer being made, they make the call. It's their decision. We guide them and recommend things, but it's ultimately their decision.
And ultimately, trial isn't the only way to end the case or discontinue the case. You have arbitration, you have binding arbitration, you have mediation, you have just acceptance of a settlement and negotiation. That's what we're very good here at Cordisco and Sale is negotiating, getting the number that we want, playing chess while they're playing checkers. So trial is probably one of the outliers, and like Todd mentioned, less than 3%. So there's other ways that we can generate a good result on a case, and that's by starting day one, by approaching the case like we're going to trial.
Guys, I appreciate being here. These are great answers. Went through 10 thought-provoking questions. If you have more questions, we'll be recording more episodes like this. You can visit us at CordiscoSale.com. Contact us there. Ask us there. Visit one of our social media platforms. You can ask questions there as well. Steven, what should people know if they want to listen to more episodes?
Like, subscribe, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you get your music or your podcasts, we are there.